Amen. Lord, we just praise you and thank you for everything that's going on, everything that you're doing. This is an awesome time you've got us in, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for keeping all the distractions out from in front of us. In Jesus' name, that we have our mind focused on you, Lord, all the time. And I thank you and I praise you for what you're going to do tonight, Lord, and I thank you for it. In Jesus' name, I thank you for the healings. I thank you for the deliverances. I thank you, Lord, for all the things that may come up that you're going to take care of because we believe. We have faith to believe, Lord, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for the good and fine weather that you've got lined up for us here the next few days. And we thank you for it, Father. Glory be to God. All right. Has anybody got a prayer request? Do. Yeah, go ahead, Matthew.
So I actually have a testimony.
Okay.
Actually, a couple testimonies. The first one was Sunday. I was cleaning out the garage, doing a deep clean, and I picked up my drill to put it away, and I was going to flip it upside down to hang it. And I didn't grab it in time and it fell. Of course, it had a bit in it, and then it went and scraped down the side of my stomach. And of course, that felt good. And and then, I'm like, what's
Wounded
this?
you too,
Obviously,
didn't
oh yeah, it's good little owie there. But so I'm like, okay, just maybe just an accident, me just being me. And
it?
so I go on and I'm taking a nail out of a board. And I take the hammer and trying to get that claw in there. And I miss it and go right straight into my hand with the claw of the hammer. And I'm like, ah, oh,
It's
okay,
time to
Lord.
go in and sit
I know
down.
I'm not sinning. Yeah. So, okay, Lord, I'm not sinning. What's going on here? And then I hear the Lord tell me, read Psalm 91. Okay. So I pull out my phone and I already have it saved on my phone. So I pull it out and I start reading it. I didn't have another accident for the rest of that day. I had a couple close calls where, something should have happened, but it didn't, and I could tell it didn't, and I was like, oh, thank you, Lord,
Amen.
for
Thank
your
you, Lord. Glory be
miraculous
to God.
power of your word. The
Amen.
word says he'll give his angels charge over thee to bear thee up, lest thou dash a foot against a stone. And another one for today. So, where I work, there's one other guy that works with me. He does the picking. He picks and pulls the parts for the boats in certain stages. He texted me early this morning and told me that he wasn't going to come in because he wasn't feeling good. And normally that's a whole lot of stress on me because now I have to do my job and his job. And I'm like, you know what, Lord? I'm not gonna stress about this. I'm gonna give this to you. I'm not gonna have a bad day because of this. And went to work, did my job, did his job. It was a really good day, no stress. Everything just smoke flowed smoothly. So praise the Lord for that.
Amen. Amen. Well, that ought to be a good reminder for all of us. Just start that out today, right? Well, do that. Thank you for reminding me. No, I don't have one. Go ahead, Missy. Go ahead on, Missy. Fired, Missy.
I saw that Hawaii is being is flooding badly on Oahu and Maui. I'm not sure about the other islands, but I watched a thing last night that said that there was this low that just stayed in place for like 6 days, and it just rained and rained and rained, and in Maui, where Lahaina or whatever it is, where they had those fires burn everything up, that's flooding now too. So wanna pray for that, and it sure looks like there's weather warfare, or they're wanting to do a land grab or something. I don't know, but some kind of nefarious stuff is going on. So, Father, we just command this weather warfare to stop, all across the earth. In the name of Jesus, we send forth the angels to stop it, Lord. Take the money, get the evidence on the criminals that are doing this, and give it to who needs it to do with it what they need to do, and to prosecute all those that are doing this weather warfare, no matter what kind of weather warfare it is. And we ask you to keep your elect safe, provide for them in the midst of all this that's going on in Hawaii, the flooding and everything. And we just command this weather, this rain, to stop now. I don't know if it's still or not. I know, like, what I saw was like 2, 3 days ago or something, or whatever, a report. And so, Father, I just thank you, Lord, for providing for the people and restoring to them, and use it, Lord, to bring repentance, Lord, to bring revival, Lord, to soften hearts, Lord, and bring many into your kingdom. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord, for doing that. Shutting them down, Lord. Okay, anyone else? Lord, I thank you that you're creating a good environment over in Iran for the people, for the Christians. And I thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. I thank you, Lord, for getting rid of the outlaw regime that has killed so many people, at least 30 something thousand, and just in the last little bit. And we thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Go ahead, Benita.
Hi everyone.
Honey.
I just wanted to pray and ask for you to join me in prayer for Frank. He's just been under the weather just for the last 2 weeks. He's just been congested and feverish and all that. So we don't accept that. We've been praying it down, and we've been believing that he's healed. And Lord, we're just going to see that all come to pass. And it's already done. And we thank you. And Lord, we praise you for what you're doing in his life. And Lord, you just give him wisdom and open hearts. And just, Lord, just put to death the flesh that's in him still. And Lord, just the spirit man will just rise up and just glorify you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Lord, we just thank you, Lord, for placing it in Frank's heart to start confessing that. Just don't ever confess that what he sees and feels, but start confessing the word. And we praise you for that, Father, in Jesus' name. And we thank you, Lord, that as he does that, he'll start getting better and better and better every day. And he'll be completely healed. And we praise you, and you're going to get the glory for it, Lord. And we thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Lord. All right, there's a lot going on in the world. I hadn't checked the news yet, but I've heard David talk about it. Yeah, you can do that. All right, go ahead and let me give you, what is it? I got to give you something. There it is. Judah's going to play something about an attack on the refineries, a prophetic word about local refineries here in the United States. I think it's from Brandon, isn't it, Julie? Go ahead. You may begin.
I've seen visions concerning gas, concerning major petrol plants, praying over Tuttle, Oklahoma, praying over Louisiana, praying over Houston, praying over our major refineries and factories of gas and oil in America. I saw strategic attacks coming. If you go back to those videos, I've warned you even before, I believe it was even before Iran even started, was it? Yeah, to pray over these oil wells, because I saw major attacks trying to come, and it was some kind of sabotage. It was some kind of sabotage. And when it happened, I saw people completely vaporized, seven of them in particular, and then 25 more completely in critical condition that was not too far from there at this facility. And I don't know what caused it to go up, but it was in retaliation to what's going on in Iran and what's going on right now. And I warned you to pray for these oil areas. This is very serious. I've seen visions.
Is that it? Okay. Lord, we just do. We pray right now for every oil refinery and depot in the United States. We thank you for your shield of protection around them, Lord. And we thank you, Lord, that no enemy can get in and set these things off in Jesus' name. And we praise you and we thank you, Lord, for complete exposure of these crazy men. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Anybody else? Go ahead, Julie.
Also, the places where they're drilling offshore. I don't know if they call them, they're not necessarily refineries, but with the places where they're drilling, when they have the big platforms where they're out there drilling. We pray for that too, Lord. Protection on those places and all the people working there and their families, Lord. We thank you, Lord. We send the angels to thwart every planned attack of the enemy, whether it be Muslim or anybody, the leftists, whoever it may be that's planning these things, the deep state moves. In Jesus' name, we command them null and void and failure to them all. In Jesus' name, I thank you, Lord, for these warnings that you've given prophetically, that we can pray them down so they don't have to come to pass. The enemy does not get away with any of their evil works in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness towards us, God. We praise you, God, that you are our God. You're the I am. And we thank you, Lord, that you gave us this authority. You gave us this time to learn to do all these things and to stand and to come together in unity. And then it's being done. The angels are going forth in Jesus' name. We praise you, God, for these opportunities, God, to bring down the deep state. We send the angels, drain the swamp. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Praise God. Thank you, Lord, for your complete protection upon them. In the name of Jesus. All right, anyone else? I pray, Lord, that your protection will be upon this whole United States, that anything that these wild-eyed Muslim might want to do harm to anybody. Lord, we pray that you would expose it before it happens and get them taken out of here. And we praise you and thank you for it, Father, in the name of Jesus. Amen. Thank you, Lord, for doing that also up around where Andrew and Ben are, and also Joe down there where he's at, or over there where he's at. How would you say that? He's east of us, so that would be over there. East is over, out is west, up is north, down is south. I know y'all knew that. Go ahead, Julie. I see your hand up. I think.
I noticed in the news I didn't watch a whole lot of anything, but apparently a lot of these airports where the TSA is not being able to work, that they've sent in ICE agents to take over the airport security and that kind of thing, and they haven't had any problems since ICE has gone in there. So Lord, I praise you for that, and I praise you, Lord, that all the illegals are not trying to get out of the country either, or moving about because of they don't have the right credentials or whatever you're doing with all that. But I praise you, Lord, that you're utilizing them in this way. I thank you, Lord, for getting these hindrances that are being caused by the government and all that that entails, where people are being restricted and having all kinds of problems, just the flow of traffic moving, and all that that means, both in air and on ground, because of all the work of the government, the shutdowns and the whole woke system and everything that they're doing and all the problems they're creating. God, we need the man child so badly. Politics is not going to fix anything. But we ask for your grace and your mercy that you will use the people that you've that are in this administration and the roles that they have, to be able to do their jobs, to do it well, to give them wisdom, all grace, all resources, all the power of the government behind them, to be able to do it and turn things back around, Lord. And we thank you
Amen.
that you're using all these, and we know these are things are judgments, and it's a lot of chaos. So we bind and cast down the chaos and the confusion, the anarchy, the lawlessness, and everything the deep state's stirring up to cause problems, to avoid their demise. And Father, I thank you that we continue to send confusion into their midst and confusion into their communications that will cause them to make mistakes, that would cause them to get caught in what they're doing. In Jesus' name, I thank you, Lord. The angels are bringing down these enemies of ours, Lord, and making way for your plans to go to pass with the R&R, your timing and your way, and to get the everyone's ready for the anointing. All that you're doing, God, you're doing so many wonderful things for us, and we don't always see it. We see a lot of the bad things, but we know you're doing great things within our hearts and working in our families. And I thank you for that. In the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Okay, anyone else? I will tell you this, that we read this morning out of Operation Disclosure that this coming week is going to be a pivotal week. I'm talking about the 1st of April. I said everything's going to take place the first week in April, looks like. So we'll just see what happens. We're already in a new type of government here in the United States. We are now officially a republic, a constitutional republic, instead of a incorporation, of which they changed back in 1913. Also, you're here in the United States, your banks are going to be closing out, and you're going to start getting money from your Quantum financial account. They've already mirrored your bank account, and they're supposed to be getting out a message across your phone I forget what day it was. Y'all remember what day it was, Missy? I could look it quick. I think it was the 5th, if I'm not mistaken, that you would be able to access your account at that time. And if everything they've told us is correct, there's going to be a considerable amount of money in there. So we'll see. Yeah, thank you, Lord. I'm gonna believe. I'll be so believing. Thank you, Lord. Could anybody use a little extra money? Yeah, I think we all can. I think we all can. Well, if you'd have gone ahead and voted for state right, Ben, y'all would have been down here too. You see what I'm saying? Yeah, you could have partaken of the benefits. No, you're probably good where you are. All right. Anyone else got a prayer request or would like to share something? Oh, I will tell you what the Lord did last night, if y'all want to hear. We were singing Give Me Jesus. And everybody was praising God, give me Jesus, singing that song. And I saw the Lord in a vision sitting up on his throne. He was taking a handful of hearts. I've never seen this before, but he had a handful of small hearts, and he was throwing them all over the fellowship on people. He was throwing them on people. And I said, "What in the world is that?" He said, "I'm putting my love on all of my people here. I love these people." And he was just, I mean, a little bit of just bunches of them, little bitty hearts coming down. You know how you do on the memes with the little hearts that goes up? Well, these were coming down all over, yeah, like that. It was just only he had them in his hand. And he was dumping them out. He was just throwing them out there. I didn't see he had a basket or anything. I think he was just making them. See, just throwing them out there. Boy, it was awesome. That was so cool. All right, anyone else? How many of you know Jesus is more of an encourager than he is a to judgment, to judge. He wants to love on all of us. He does. He's got so much love in his heart for us. It's just unreal. It's hard to believe. I think she was last week. Yeah, she was there sometime anyway. But yeah, His love is just unimaginable. Okay, anybody got anything else to talk about? Yeah, Joe.
Morning, everybody. I just want
Hey, Joe.
all to agree. I want you all to agree with me. Yesterday, I
Okay.
met a construction guy. His name is Sean. I did talk to him a little bit about. He said his family was all into Christianity. His dad got part of the ministry, I think. So I did talk to him, and so I just knew him a track and understanding. He was quite interested in what it looks like, quite interested in what it actually means to be baptized and getting your soul reborn by him. By listening and obeying your spirit and Holy Spirit. So I prayed, I took a bit track and I talked to him. So he just agreed with me that the Lord doing his good work in him. And he started yesterday and confessing at me coming into the kingdom. Thank you, Father, for your grace. Thank you for mercy. Thank you for the time to share your word. He says, Lord, we have to sow the seed, the water, the seed, that you do the increase, Lord. Thank you, Lord, they can leave it all up to you in your hand. Thank you, Father. Thank you for the good work you started, Lord. bringing into the kingdom in Jesus' mighty name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. What Joe said. Amen. All right, anyone else? All right, you got a song ready? Oh, that'd be awesome. Good song. One that'll get us out of our chair.
Bows to the name of Jesus. Suicide bows. addiction bows to the name of Jesus. You're a breakthrough. You're a breakthrough tonight, Jesus. You're a breakthrough tonight. Oh, let this be the night. Everything changes. Everything changes.
God, that's a good song. I like that. All right. Does anybody else got something they'd like to share before we get into the real good news? Chapter 3. Let me ask a question. Did the Lord show you anything this last few days? Yeah, Julie.
Not so much regarding this, but just something that kind of jumped off the page at me, and I was just questioning the Lord about it and seeking the scriptures about it, because I couldn't find really in the word where it's in the book of Acts where find it. I don't misquote it. Okay. Acts 20, verse 35. If you want to go there, if anyone wants to go there. Acts 20, verse 35. In all things I gave you an example, that so laboring you ought to help the weak, and to remember the words. Remember the words of the Lord Jesus that he himself said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. And I was thinking about that. I remember, you know, that scripture from, you know, many, many years ago. I was studying that. We used it in part of our, this group I was part of, a group's Bible study I was part of. But it's like, I don't know. I mean, all the commentaries I was looking at, or even just with that Jesus' quote is saying that. He's not. I couldn't find it. And none of the commentaries could find where he actually said that anywhere. But there's many things that are written, or excuse me, that Jesus said and did that are not written. But I started studying that scripture about being more blessed to give than to receive, and what that meant. Anyhow, I didn't want to go into it here, but it was kind of neat why God blesses those who give. The scriptures involving about giving, and I was thinking about how, our Father, where he says about, you who are evil know how to give good gifts to your children. How much more will your Heavenly Father give you the Holy Spirit? Well, he's given us everything, our Father, and it gives him great pleasure, I think, to give us things that he knows that we want or we desire, or not just our needs, but the little things that he knows that will just really encourage us, or confirm things to you that he's very personal, on what he gives, because he knows you so well and stuff. But anyhow, just thinking, it's like even when I've given something to somebody and I knew it was something they really wanted, or I knew it was something that would mean something to them, there's a lot of joy in giving, and the anticipation of somebody opening it and getting it and seeing their response to it, that is a joyful thing for me. When you give somebody a gift, whether it's their birthday or unexpected gift or whatever, that it's fun. It's exciting to give somebody you know is going to touch them. So in that respect, the blessed is more blessed to give than it is to receive. And there's a lot of scriptures about, giving. And we've been learning, God's economy and all that stuff, to give, to receive. We give and receive, and that there's equality in the body and that kind of thing. But anyhow, that's you asked that question, and that was just something I'd been recently studying, Michael. So it wasn't really on topic, but
Amen.
decided to share.
I'm glad you brought that up, because the giving here is very sacrificial, because there's a lot of times there's a great need for money at that for whatever reason, the COVID started the drop off in money coming in. And it was a trying time for us, but everybody, I'm telling you, everybody gave sacrificially and started believing that God was going to take care of them. And guess what? God did. God took care of everybody. I mean, our needs were met, and it's been an awesome trip to understand what faith is. That faith that God wants us to have, you give your last dollar, to somebody, and don't worry about it. God's gonna replace it. And guess what? When you need it, it's gonna be there. And if you listen to any of David's teachings about giving, excuse me, just a moment. Come out in the name of Jesus. All right. Anyway, I've noticed just in the last few years since COVID that God just keeps giving. I mean, you can give every nickel you got, and when the time comes that you need gas or you need this or you need that, guess what happened? It shows up. It comes in the mail, it does this, it'll show up in your billfold, it'll just whatever. And so I don't worry about money anymore, or haven't in quite some time, actually. And that's where God wants us. He wants us to. That's what the tribulation is about, also, by the way, is to trust Him. So we could go into the promised land. Amen. Anybody else? All right. I think we're in chapter 3. Chapter 3 of The Real Good News. Now, let me just do something right quick before we get started. Okay, I'm ready to go. Ready to go, boys. You ready, Joe?
All day.
Okay. All right, buddy. All right. Chapter 3, His Power in Weakness. Can y'all hear me okay, Julie? Okay. As we discovered in our previous study, the real good news is that the Lord has already provided everything we could possibly need in this life. As a matter of fact, he says in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3, seeing that his divine power has granted unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. It has already been given, folks. That's the really, really good news. Where'd Matthew go? I guess he has to work tomorrow. We don't have to convince him of it or beg him into it. It's his will to give it to us, and all we have to do to have the benefits, to have what has already been given to us, is to walk by faith. We've been told that Mark 11:24, all things whatsoever you pray and ask for, believe that you received, as past tense, them, and you shall have them. And we've been told that he has already, in Colossians 1:13, delivered us out of the power of darkness, and that in Galatians 2:20, I have been crucified with Christ, and it's no longer I that live, but Christ lives in me. We don't have a problem with sin. It's all been solved. We don't have a problem with this old man. We don't have a problem with demon possession or oppression. It's all been solved. It's the good news. Ephesians 2:8. For by grace have you been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's the gift of God. It's the gift of God. It's the gift of God. Not of works, that no man should glory. Our problems have been solved. 1 Peter 2:24. Who his own self bare our sins to his body upon the tree, that we, having died unto sin, might live unto righteousness, and by whose stripes you were healed. Past tense. David says it's all been solved. Sin problems have been dealt with. Sickness problems have been dealt with. And now, as we understood from our prior teaching, we can enter into the rest. We don't have to worry about a thing. We can, as Philippians 4:6 says, and nothing be anxious, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And we can give him thanks that it's already done. Praise be to God. So we can enter into this rest. We can keep our spiritual New Testament Sabbath by ceasing from all our works to try to save ourselves. Hebrews 4:1-11. Since God's already done it, he's already healed us, delivered us, provided for us, protected for us, all of these things. And since he has already done all these things, then the only thing that remains is for us to enter into that rest through faith. Hebrews 4:3. For we who have believed do enter into that rest. Whatever problem you have, the Lord has already solved. This helps us to be able to enter into faith, because As you know, Romans 4:16, for this cause it is of faith, that it may be according to grace. Verse 17, even God who calls the things that are not as though they were. It's all past tense. It was all taken care of at the cross, and now we get to enter into this by faith. And one thing we discovered about these past tense promises is that they exclude our works. And since it all has been accomplished already, there is nothing we can do to bring it to pass except believe. Hebrews 4, verse 3. For we who have believed do enter into that rest. Verse 9. There remaineth therefore a Sabbath rest for the people of God. For he that is entered into this his rest hath himself also rested from his works, as God did from his. God purposefully gave us all these promises in the past tense, so that when we believed him, we would have to cease from our works, enter into the rest, and receive this wonderful free gift from him by grace. Amen. Has anybody got any questions or any comments? Yeah, Andrew, go ahead, brother.
You know, in the scriptures, you might find where it says, every good word and work. It's kind of like a prefix at the end of the verse, or a suffix at the end of the verse. Or every good deed, every word, every good word and work, or every good word and deed, or the thing you do. So the thing you do, if it's according to the word that's God breathed, and we're supposed to be the spirit man. So what's the problem here? So this shows you the power of God's word. Because if you're going to do every good word and work, then the work has to be backed by the word, and the word has to be back in the work. So, and that is a kind of like circular reasoning. But if you look at the scripture in chapter 4 of Hebrews, where it says living is the word of God and active, then that is the God's breathed word for even the teaching, as it says in another place in Timothy, 2 Timothy 3:16, I think. Anyway, so if this word is by the breath of God, and we're children of God, then if you meditate on those, that word and work, you know, like, what work is it that God can't do? And who's walking in us? You know, who's we're God's sanctuary, and God saith that, you know, I will dwell in them and walk. You know, there's a word right there. And that's a good work, I can say, too, you know. So if God's going to work it out for us, and he's going to walk in us, then as we also walk in Christ, you know, if you walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with Christ there, you know, because it does say in Colossians chapter 2 that our walk has to be in Christ. So walking is a work, you know. But, you know, it says, back to that verse where it says that the words are supposed to be active, you know, and sharper than any two-edged sword. And of course, we know that the sword of the Spirit is a word, because that's the sword we have. But what about these other swords? So, you know, as sharper than any two-edged sword. So there is an opposing word to God's word. So we have, we speak God's word. We speak it according to the oracles of God, as Peter told us to. And so you begin to suddenly realize just how powerful this sword could be, you know, and we can't wield it just for no reason. We have to make sure that the deed or the work after the word follows the word. So, you know, it's an interesting concept if you meditate on it. So I was just making this as a comment, you know, because we expect to God's word never to fail. If God says something, he's Almighty God. So, and if we're his workmanship created in Christ Jesus, then what kind of works are we supposed to do in accordance to this word that he just told us in 2:10? You know, and he says, you know, in 2:13 of Philippians, who's doing all this work anyway? So, you know, for it is God that worketh in you both. Now, why would he refer to you in the plural? Unless there's some spirit there. So it's a wonderful, and this is all word that we're supposed to have the works for, or the deeds for, you know? So praise and glory to God. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Anyone else? See, where did I start? Did I stop at all these past tense promises? Not only exclude our works and cause us to rest, they bring us to a place of weakness. That's what Apostle Paul's story speaks about in 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 7. And by reason of the exceeding greatness of the revelations, that I should not be exalted over much, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, that I should not be exalted over much. There has been a great deal of deception taught concerning this. Paul wanted and needed to be seen not as the great man of God, but as the man in whom a great God lives. He said he was given this thorn in the flesh so that he would not be exalted over much. And the Bible mentions thorn in the flesh 3 times in the Old Testament, and not one time is it a sickness or infirmity. In every case, the thorn in the flesh was the enemies of God's people persecuting them and bringing judgments on them. Paul plainly tells you here what the thorn in the flesh is. It is a messenger of Satan. And the Greek word angelos appears in the Bible 188 times. It's translated angel 181 times. And the rest is translated messenger. If it's the same Greek word, it can be translated the same way that it should be. This is talking about an angel of Satan. Some people say Satan's messengers are demons and they were never angels. I've heard that doctrine, but it's false. Psalm 79:49. He cast upon them the fierceness of his anger, wrath and indignation and trouble. A band of angels of evil. Yes, there are demons, but there are also the fallen angels of Satan. So Paul was given an angel of Satan to buffet him. Buffet means to hit many times, many strikes and many blows. And Paul was buffeted by a thorn in his flesh many times. And again, when we look at the Old Testament, these are the enemies of God's people persecuting and bringing judgment upon him. I'm going to stop right there. Go ahead, Julie. I'm sorry. I just now saw your hand up.
Oh, it's okay. It's just regarding what you're talking about. I was just wondering. You know, an enemy of Satan, I mean, an enemy of ours, you know, of an angel, a messenger of Satan, a thorn in the flesh, and you know, Paul went through a lot of afflictions. He's, you know, written down in Corinthians about all the things that he went through, you know, all these things that he suffered for Christ. I'm just curious in my own personal life. I mean, I've gone through persecution and stuff, and I guess it was, you know, manifested through unbelievers and, you know, people with real hate, you know, just antichrist spirit and that kind of thing. But, you know, can't, and I know David's saying it's not an infirmity or a sickness, but can't God use something like that to buffet us? Because I mean, that kind of thing would be demonic, a demon, you know, an infirmity, a demon kind of thing to buffet you, buffet me, or whatever. Do you understand what I'm saying? What does God use to help, you know, humble you? What does God use to, you know, if you get out of his will and you start rebelling or going the wrong way or something, what will God do to, you know, to get your attention or something? You know, he, you know, in Paul's example, it was because he had all these revelations and he had to keep them humble. You know, I guess like what I'm saying is like, what in your own experience has God used to humble you? For me, it's been like, you know, afflictions on my body, you know, not so much. I mean, there's been some flesh killers I've had, you know, with people and stuff, but I'm just asking other examples what you might think that means.
Yeah, he could use somebody. Yeah. Anybody
Mean, I guess,
else?
have you ever had a thorn in the flesh? Has God ever used a thorn in the flesh for you or any of you?
Well, that's Satan coming against you. That's what that is. And all of us have had that. If you haven't, boy, I'm gonna meet you.
I think we all have. We wouldn't still be here. We go through,
Really, really.
going through trials and stuff. Anyhow, I'm just wondering what you guys, you know, thought about that, because
He's gonna
sometimes it is,
talk
I
a little
think.
bit more. I think he's gonna talk a little bit more about this thorn in the flesh on down here a little bit. Anybody got any questions? Or answers. Okay. Paul, I'm gonna go over this again. Paul plainly tells you here what the thorn in the flesh is. It is a messenger of Satan. The Greek word angelos appears in the Bible 188 times. I never did say it, but anyway, it's translated angel 181 times, and the rest it's translated messenger. If it's the same Greek word, it can be translated the same way, and it should be. This is talking about an angel of Satan. Some people say Satan's messengers are demons and they were never angels. I've heard that doctrine, David says, but it's false. Psalm 79:49, he cast upon them the fierceness of his anger, wrath, and indignation and trouble, and a band of angels of evil. Well, amen. Yes, there are demons, but there are also the fallen angels of Satan. So Paul was given an angel of Satan to buffet him. And buffet means to hit many times, many strikes, many blows. And Paul was buffeted by a thorn in his flesh many times. And again, when we look at the Old Testament, these are the enemies of God's people persecuting and bringing judgment upon them. And Paul mentions his buffetings in 2 Corinthians 11. But we'll look at that more closely later on. 2 Corinthians 12 and 8. Concerning this thing, I besought the Lord thrice that it might depart from me. And he has said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee, for my power is made perfect in weakness. This messenger of Satan kept bringing him into many persecutions, troubles, and trials in which Paul needed God's power. And in the place of his weakness, in his inability to save himself, the Lord became his Savior. The Lord did this with Israel. He brought Israel into traps where they were not able to save themselves. Exodus 14 is one example. He brought them past the Red Sea, and then the Lord said for them to go back and camp between Migdol and the Red Sea. Then the Lord brought Pharaoh's army in behind them, putting the Israelites into a perfect trap. They couldn't go one way or the other. They had to go across the Red Sea. And then God did a miracle to save them. He deliberately brought them to the place where they could do nothing so he could save them. And then he brought them to a place where there was nothing but bitter water. And he brought them to the place where there was no food. He sweetened the water with the tree and brought them manna out of heaven. He brought them water out of the rock. God brought them in places where they could not save themselves, because that was what the wilderness was all about. The wilderness was that place of weakness. Well, folks, these promises are the wilderness. Every Christian can walk into their wilderness, because these promises automatically take away your ability to save yourself by the very fact that all of them are past tense. You have already been saved. You've already been delivered. You have already been provided for. You have already been delivered out of the power of darkness. You have already been delivered from sin. You have already been delivered from sickness. And since it's already done, what can you do to bring it to pass? If you say you believe the Bible, for he that is entered into his rest hath himself also rested from his works, as God did from his, then you have automatically come to a wilderness, a place of weakness, like Paul is speaking about here. And just as Paul was buffeted by a messenger of Satan, many times we are buffeted to humble. We are buffeted to humble us, just like it was to humble him. And it's not something that God says that he's not going to save you from. It's to bring you to the place of weakness so that God can be your Savior. He wants to prove his power to you. 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 9. And he has said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee, for my power is made perfect in weakness. That means your weakness. These past tense promises make us weak because we believe them. And God can be the only Savior. Go ahead, Andrew.
You know, there's an additional verse after you, the weakness verse there, because there's a tabernacle he wants to put over you, and that's the very next verse. And I just want you to know that tabernacle is a very important verse, because that's God's people, and we know that in the future the tabernacle is going to be blasphemed. And when they blaspheme the tabernacle, they're going to blaspheme his name, and they're going to blaspheme God. But, you know, a blasphemy in action is also an abomination. So, you know, he wants to spread this tabernacle over you. And that's the verse after that, you know. So the tabernacle has the light in it. And of course, recently David Eales did one of the Wednesday or Sunday night studies on the spiritual tabernacle. So I just wanted to mention that because I think it's pertinent.
Amen. I'm going to go back. These past tense promises makes us weak because when we makes us weak because when we believe them, God can be the only Savior. He is the only one who can bring it to pass. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my weaknesses that the power of Christ may rest upon me. And I think that's still a good idea. Some people don't understand why we would glory in our weaknesses or why God would pick a vessel, a weak vessel, like myself to speak through. But why did he pick those ignorant fishermen instead of the Bible school graduates of his day? He picked them because they were trainable, because they were weak and had to depend on God. 1 Corinthians 1:27. But God chose the foolish things of the world that he might put to shame them that are wise. And God chose the weak things of the world that he might put to shame the things that are strong. And the base things of the world and the things that are despised did God choose, yea, and the things that are not, that he might bring to naught the things that are. The things that are not are these promises that we've been looking at. He chose the promises as his method to bring the curse to nothing. And when we believe these promises, we cease from our works, enter into our wilderness of our weakness. That's where God's power falls. Praise be to God. Amen. Anybody got any questions or even thoughts? Second Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 10. Wherefore I take pleasure in weaknesses. Yeah, I know that some of your Bible versions say infirmities or sickness. Those versions in other places translate the same Greek word as weaknesses. You can't have it both ways. The word is asthenia, which means want of strength or weakness. I'm sorry, want of strength or weakness. It doesn't mean infirmity. A simple proof for that is to look where the word is used in other places, and you'll see that they had to translate it correctly. For instance, in Corinthians, where it speaks about Christ being crucified, it reached 2 Corinthians 13:4. But he was crucified through weakness, yet he lived through the power of God. Christ was not crucified through infirmity. He was crucified because he was weak and that he refused to defend himself before Pilate and the accusers. Another example is 1 Corinthians 1:25. And the weakness of God is stronger than man. It's not the infirmity of God. You need to underline that. Nobody has ever known God to be infirm or sick. That's just ridiculous. So the word weakness is the word that should be translated all the way through. The theologians who don't believe in divine health or healing had to put their doctrine in there, and that's why they used the word intimacy. 2 Corinthians 12:9. And he has said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my weaknesses. This is the same word as above, asthenia, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Wherefore I take pleasure in weaknesses, same word as above, in injuries, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. When are we weak? Then God is strong. So we can see it. It's not just faith. If you do believe and have faith, don't try to save yourself in those instances. You believe God has already done it? It's just as Jesus said, Mark 11:24, all faith whatsoever you pray and ask for, believe that you received, it's past tense, them, and you shall have them. Well, those weaknesses are listed in the previous chapter where Paul was buffeted by this angel of Satan and brought into circumstances where he could not save himself. He was weak in every one of them. 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 23. Are they members of Christ? I speak as one bats himself. I abhor that lady. Wait a minute, where did I get that? All right, let me start this one over. 2 Corinthians 11:23. Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as one beside myself. I, more in labors, more abundantly, in prisons, more abundantly, in stripes, above measure, in deaths often, of the Jews 5 times, received in stripes, wait a minute, received I 40 stripes, save one. Thrice was I beaten with rods. Once was I stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day have I been in the deep. In journeyings often, in perils of rivers, in perils of robbers, in perils from my countrymen, in perils from the Gentiles, those thorns in the flesh here, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren. 27, in labor and travail, in washings often, in hunger and thirst, in frostings often, or fastings often, in cold and nakedness, and beside those things that are without, there is that which presseth upon me daily, anxiety for all the churches. Who is weak, and I am not weak? Go ahead, Andrew.
I'm glad you caught me before you finished off those weaknesses. So, you know, there's a blessing in the Sermon on the Mount that Jesus said for us, that blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. But there was a lot of mourning for him for all those things, you know. He has sorrow upon sorrow, and, you know, God takes away his sorrow. You know, he even healed another person for him to go do his ministry. I forget his name, it begins with A, but it's a big long name, you know, every letter in the alphabet in it. So it's in Timothy somewhere. But he killed him because he was his sickness was unto death, but he got healed. So hey, now go do your ministry, you know. So he would be capable of ministering up quite a bit if he got healed from something that was going to kill him. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. And we all know who the comforter is. So, and you know, there's the blessing. We speak of this blessing, and I think it's Ephesians 1 and 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with every spiritual blessing in Christ Jesus. So, you know, and he, if he said it, he must have been the Word of God to say that back then, too. So, and he is the name called the Word of God. We're supposed to abide in every good word and work. Every good word and deed. So, blessed be the God of heaven for this.
Amen. Then David goes on, he says, there's the word asteneo, or weak. Astenea is weakness, and neither word means infirm. Who has caused to stumble, and I burn not? 30. If I must needs glory, I will glory of the things that concern my weakness. And then Paul goes on to talk about how that the Lord enabled him to escape from Damascus in a basket. All of these were times of being buffeted by this demon that was bringing judgment upon him that was humbling him. We have to be humble because we want to save ourselves. We would love to be our own Savior. We'd like to help out God, but the Lord does not want any kind of salvation outside of grace. Grace is unmerited, unearned, and nothing done by the flesh. And that's why he designed his salvation in this way. I'm on page 38 now. We discovered that salvation, soteria, is all my needs supplied like a little baby. And the word for Savior is soter. The soteria is everything the soter supplied. The Savior supplied all of our needs. And that's what salvation is all about. It's already been supplied. So therefore, we can do nothing to bring it to pass. It's all by grace. It's unmerited. It's unearned. And if you want to pay for it, if you want to go out and earn it by yourself, effort, and your works, then that's not what the Lord provided. That's just your works, your flesh. It ain't got nothing to do with the kingdom of God. You would think the Lord could have failed Paul somewhere in all of these things. But you see, Paul knew the secret of faith, which is to call the things that are not as though they were. Paul understood the really good news, and he was the one who spoke many of these promises that we're talking about. Any questions? Any comments? Look at what Paul said about his buffetings, 2 Timothy 3:10. But thou didst follow my teaching, conduct, purpose, faith, long-suffering, love, patience, persecution, suffering. What things befell me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra? What persecutions I endured. And out of them all, the Lord delivers me. In Paul's weakness, and having been put in a circumstance where he could not save himself, the Lord became his Savior. Who put the Israelites in that place in the wilderness? The Lord did. Who gave Paul this angel of Satan to buffet him? The Lord did. The Lord purposely wanted to weaken the old man, who likes to take a lot of credit for anything God does. But when you do things in the kingdom God's way, with God's methods, that old man cannot get any credit for it. That's why the Lord has finished all the works from the foundation of the world. Hebrews 4:3. And the only thing that remains is for us to enter into these works. Not by our works, but by faith. The works were finished, therefore we can't do anything to bring it to pass. Amen. We just enter in through faith. And so Paul says, out of all these buffetings, the Lord delivered me. He says it again in the next chapter, 2 Timothy 4:16. At my first defense, no one took my part, but all forsook me. That was from the Lord too. May it not be laid to their account. But the Lord stood by me and strengthened me. David says, you and the Lord are a majority. That through me the message might be fully proclaimed, and that all the Gentiles might hear, and I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. The Lord will deliver me from every evil work and will save me into his heavenly kingdom. To whom be the glory forever and ever. Amen. The Lord received the glory because the salvation came in Paul's weakness. He couldn't claim any credit for his salvation by grace. And again, all of this is talking about his salvation by unmerited and unearned grace. Amen. Then he goes on into another example, Psalms 34 and 17. The righteous cried, and the Lord heard and delivered them out of all their troubles. Do you think that sometimes the Lord wants to leave us these troubles? It's true that the Lord wants to bring us through these troubles, because through these troubles, we learn that self-effort is worthless in the kingdom of God. But the Lord is there. He delivered them out of all their troubles. Psalms 34 and 19. Many are the afflictions of the righteous. And as we can see in Paul's life, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. And here we see that all over and over. And the Lord told us, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Our weaknesses, or our weakness, brings God's power. And our correct faith in the promises brings our weakness, because when we believe that God has already provided, we have to cease from our works. Any efforts of our own prove that we are not believing, as the scriptures have said. John 7:38. He that believes on me, as the scriptures have said, from within him shall flow rivers of living water. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believed on him were to reinstate. By his Spirit, God's power will be manifested through the people who believe on him, as the scripture has said. Don't add to God's word. Don't make this a future thing that God will provide. Make it a past thing that he has provided everything, and that makes our works worthless. So our faith leads us to weakness, and that weakness leads us to God's power. Praise be to God. Thank you, Lord. All right. Anybody got any comments? Anybody want? Yeah, go ahead, Andrew.
So God's power would be something that he graces upon you. Is that a fair statement? God's power would be something that he graces for you, gives to you, to get you to believe his word, to finally come to the understanding of that word. You know, because, you know, I'm just thinking of a verse there where Paul is admonishing Timothy, saying to him, "And thou therefore, my child, be strengthened in the grace that is in Christ Jesus." And you know, in Christ Jesus is a lot of verses showing you what you're supposed to be anyway. Christ in you, the hope of glory. So why would he admonish Timothy? He's not a child. He was a full-grown man when he said that. To be strengthened in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Because you see, you've got that prefix on that story. I guess it's suffix on that verse. In Christ Jesus. And you're always admonished to be in Christ Jesus, because you are in Christ Jesus, and you're maturing in Christ Jesus, and you're trying to gain more fruit in Christ Jesus. So, and this is the word of God, and wouldn't Paul want to, isn't he not admonishing or trying to encourage all the people to be strengthened in the grace that's in Christ Jesus, not just Timothy. Of course, Timothy is supposed to be the next apostle, yes. But I'm just meditating aloud when I'm saying these words, but you know, this is what obviously has to come to pass. If you're going to be made the righteousness of God in Him, in Christ Jesus, then there is a word that's God breathed that's supposed to discipline you in righteousness so that you can be complete. Complete is complete. What's the completion of this? But what it says there, I think, in 1 John 3 and 1 and 2, you know, when now we are children of God, and it is not yet what we should be manifested. So the completion of this righteousness of God that we attain, of course, God is the righteous one, but we're being made righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. So this is, again, I'm just thinking aloud, you know. So it's just wonderful how these verses collate around a single word like righteous, you know. Like, he that is righteous doeth righteously, even as he is righteous. There's three righteousnesses in there. And, of course, there's three bearings of fruit in 1 John 5 and 4, where it says, whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. There's three overcomings there. And we're supposed to overcome because we've got the blood of the Lamb, right? And the blood of the Lamb, is that not in Christ Jesus? Be strengthened in the grace that's in Christ Jesus? You know, a bigger heart has to have pump more blood, I guess. And ye also be enlarged, you know, your heart. He admonished the Corinthian people to have their hearts enlarged, our heart. And he addressed them as children. Like, they weren't all children, you know. There wasn't all a bunch of little girls and boys out there having a picnic, you know. They were full-grown men and women. So he's addressing a future apostle as a child, and now he's addressing these Corinthians as children in chapter 6 of 2 Corinthians. So if they're in good company as being that child, aren't they? And we're addressed as it in 1 John chapter 3, 1 and 2, you know. This is something we speak about quite a bit here. So I'm just thinking aloud again. So praise and glory to God.
Amen. Julie, did you have something? I saw you had your hand up.
Just kind of chiming in on what Andrew was saying, I guess, when he was thinking about the grace that's in Christ Jesus, you know, that I was thinking about how, you know, we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us, because we can't do anything outside of Him. And then I was thinking about the scripture about where Jesus Himself said, you know, come to me, all ye who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Learn of me, I am meek and humble. You know, he was relying on the Father for everything. And His Spirit was in him. That gave him the ability and the strength and, you know, to keep going and keep doing what he was doing. And that's what we have to learn to do, is to come to him for our strength. And, you know, it's all his grace. I mean, even the understanding, like you're saying, Andrew, the understanding, you know, it's like to even the grace to understand what it is we're reading. You know, that's his gift. I guess I was thinking, it's like, you know, Jesus said, blessed are you, you have ears to hear, you know, blessed are you that has been given to you to understand these things. You know, it's been given unto you to have these ears to hear this understanding. And It's all his grace. It's all his grace. It's all his gift. It's all his doing. And that's why he gets all the glory, because we, it's like any of the gifts that we have, we didn't earn them. You know, any natural talents or ability you have, you didn't do anything to get that. It was given to you. God put it in you or whatever. Or you learned it from, you know, somebody. It wasn't a natural thing. Well, there are people who have a natural, you know, talents and gift, I guess. But even that comes from God. You know, it all comes from him. So it's all his grace. All his grace.
You know, one of those understandings is one of those lights in the tabernacle, in your candlestick, your personal candlestick. But there is a corporate candlestick, and we know who's in charge of that one, because he can take away their candlestick as he threatened one of the churches in the seven churches there of Revelation. So the light of understanding is for those people who they know what God wants, but they can't quote the verse verbatim. You know, they'll have that word understanding, and go, and then you'll look for verses, like you quoted in a verse there too, you know. So it's all, and I just said, I'm just meditating aloud, so it's not me at all, at any point at all. So it's glory to God, and it's always glory to God, because we're children of light. And in the beginning, God said, let there be light. The light came out of God, and because it's the fourth day that he created the sun, moon, and stars. So, and we're children of light, and that's why we're our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. So the children have light, and they want to look more and more like the light of their Father, because in him there is no darkness at all. So praise and glory to God. And, you know, for what communion hath light with darkness? So that's a unity word. That's the grace word, community. You want the greasy grace, you know what the greasy grace, that's the darkness. You hear David Eales talking about greasy grace, that's the darkness, but we want the light. So praise and glory to God.
Amen. Anybody else want to read? Okay. Little children. Yeah, he did. Go ahead, Julie.
I can read and give you a break, Michael.
Okay.
Where you at? Where are we at? Would you end up at?
I'm done. Why don't you start?
Where are we at? I lost where we are.
Yeah, I did too, but
I think we're on 39 somewhere.
Well, if we're on 39, then the works of self-righteousness.
Okay. The works of self-righteousness, the works of self-salvation, those works are crucified by the promises of God. They are totally useless, and if we do them, it is unbelief. If in our self-effort we try to save ourselves after we have all these promises that we've already been saved, it is unbelief. However, there is a work that is in agreement with faith. How do you act when you believe you have received? Think on that. How should I act? What would you say? What should you say? If I believe I have received, if I call the things that are not as though they were, if I am seeing that his divine power has already granted to me everything that pertains to life and godliness, if I have asked God for something and I see that it is a promise in his word, how would I act? What would I say? What would be my works that agree with faith? There are works that agree with faith, and there are works against faith. Works that are against faith prove that you don't have any faith. They're self-works, we're for the flesh, and they're forbidden in our Sabbath. The works that agree with faith and prove that you have faith, these are the works of God. If we're going to cease from our works, we have to cease from our works of flesh. We have to stop being like the Pharisees and cease from trying to have justification by works of the law. But there are works that agree with faith. James 2:14. What does it profit, my brethren, if a man say he hath faith and have not works. Can that faith save him? Obviously not. Verse 17, even so, if it have not works, it is dead in itself. Yea, a man will say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith apart from thy works, and I by my works will show thee my faith. The only way we can show that we have faith is by our works. What are the actions of a person who believes they have received healing, deliverance from the curse, Galatians 3:13. Deliverance from sin, Galatians 2:20. They are joyous. They are rested because they know God has already taken care of it. Their actions are those of ceasing from their own works. Their actions are their confession of what God has already done. The Lord said, Matthew 10:32. Everyone, therefore, who shall confess me before men, him will I also confess before my Father who is in heaven. Confess here means to speak the same as. Are you speaking what the promises say has already been given unto you? Are your feet walking out your confession? Your confession is a work that completes and proves your faith. Jesus told the lepers in Luke 17:14, go and show yourself unto the priest. Well, they were still lepers when they walked away. It was an act of faith that they did in walking to go and be inspected by the priest to see if any leprosy was still on them so they could make their sacrifice. Their walks were the good works of God and not works of men. Those are the works that prove faith, not works that negate faith, not self-effort. They were not running to a doctor. They were not running to somebody to try to get healed. They knew that the Lord was telling them, you are healed. So go and show yourself to the priest. James 2:20. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith apart from works is barren? The word barren means unfruitful. Was not Abraham our father justified by works in that he offered up Isaac his son upon the altar? Abraham did something, but what he did was in agreement with his faith. He knew if he obeyed God, that God would have resurrected Isaac from the dead for God to bring to pass the promised seed that was going to be a multitude of nations. Abraham had such faith, he knew that God will do it, and he went on to obey God. James 2:22. Thou seest thou faith with wrought with his works, and by works was his faith made perfect or complete. Verse 24, see that by works a man is justified, and not only by faith. And in like manner, was not Rahab the harlot justified by works, in that she received the messengers and sent them out another way? For as the body apart from the spirit is dead, even so faith apart from works is dead. So you see there is a work that you need to give up and forsake, and there is a work that is part of our faith. That work completes our faith. It is necessary. If you do not have this corresponding action to your faith, you don't have faith. Believing in your mind is not enough. As many who receive miracles from God will proclaim because they have proven it. I was thinking about when I was trying to learn what these works were and stuff. And, you know, for me, at first, it was very confusing about what my work should be if I agreed, you know, because I was trying to absorb everything, you know, and I was studying all the Bible and following the Bible studies and gaining all this truth and information. And then I know there was a time where it's like the Lord was like, okay, now you're going to be proven. Now you got to do what, you know, what you've learned. And he kind of put me in situations here and there where things were like, okay, what are you going to do? What are you going to do? Are you going to confess me or are you going to go run to Egypt? What are you going to do? You know, I guess we're all in our own little wilderness things, but I didn't realize it was kind of scary, you know, exciting, but still scary. And I saw God do things, you know, it was kind of neat. It was those little baby steps. Anyhow, David says, myself, I've had a very miraculous life. I shared with you previously how the Lord tried my faith when I broke my arm in a motorcycle accident. I believe that by whose stripes you were healed. I believe that I was already healed at the cross and that they can actually act on that faith. I refused to let the doctor set my arm. I claimed that I was already healed. When the doctor told me it was going to take about 12 weeks for it to heal, but that he'd have to set it first, I didn't accept it. So when I was walking in the yard with that my broken arm and I passed by that tree trunk, the thought came into my head to pick it up and heave it onto that fire to burn it in half. That way it would be easier to move the next time. Well, that thought came to me. If you pick up that log with your broken arm, there's nothing but meat holding your arm. But the next thought came to my mind was, if you're healed, then you can pick that log up. And I acted on that thought of faith. I reached down and picked that log up and never felt a thing. You would have thought there would have been a lot of pain. I would have put the arm very badly out of joint, but I did not feel a thing because I acted on my faith and God manifested the healing miracle. God's power was made perfect in my weakness, 2 Corinthians 12:9. My weakness was I refused to try to heal it myself. I refused to go to the arm of the flesh, Jeremiah 7:17-5. So to speak, my faith was proven by my work of picking up the log. My works were negated when I refused to try to bring to pass something God's word says has already been accomplished. If you're going to believe that, your actions have to agree with it. I shared with you also, my wife's kidneys were damaged in that dirt bike wreck, and we had taken her to be prayed for. And when it was now a week or two later, she was complaining to the Lord about why she hadn't been healed. She was saying, "We obeyed. We called for the elders. We did just what you said in the book." And God answered her, "If you believe that I have healed you, why are you taking all that medicine?" This is a new thought to us, but we found the verses and discovered, aha, that is exactly what it says. My wife had been trying to heal herself. She hadn't entered into the rest. She wasn't keeping the Sabbath because it was self-works. She immediately ran into the bathroom, poured the medicine down the toilet, and God healed her standing right there. We received a revelation from that, and we began to understand what faith really is. Faith is not hope. Faith is looking back. Hope is looking forward. Hope is hoping you will see the healing. But faith is what saves, and faith is what heals. Faith looks back at the cross. That is where you were healed. That is where you were delivered from sin. That is where everything was already provided for you. You have to be looking at in the right direction.
Amen. Let me say something just a minute, if I can. How do you raise your hand? I've never had to do it, so I don't know how to do it.
You see that little heart down there? It says react.
Yeah.
Click on the heart. And it says a little thing there says raise hand, and it says be right back. It has all those other things there.
Yeah. Yeah. I was clicking on the up arrow. I thought that would be it, but I was clicking on the wrong thing. Okay. What I wanted to share is how he went ahead and did what the doctors had told him not to do, and that is pick up something with a broken arm. Boy, that's faith. That is really faith. And that's where God wants us to be, in that type of faith all the time, because the things that are fixing to come up, people are going to watch and find us and see that God still does these things that they have been taught that he quit doing that, and that he's now relying on the doctors to heal us. They have a terrible record. In fact, they are the leading causes of death in hospitals, is mistakes that doctors and nurses and that type of stuff have. That's crazy. But anyway, and what David says here, that I have not experienced the same things, but similar, that you have to just go ahead and act like you're not sick. Act like you're not hurt. Act like you're not whatever the situation is. And then God will go ahead and manifest it. I've had that happen a number of times. Go ahead, Judy. Not quite as dramatic as that.
No, I would just, like, you know, if you feel pain, you just kind of have to ignore it and confess, I'm not in pain. Jesus took my pain. You just have to walk it out. And, you know, sometimes it's manifested right away. Sometimes it's a gradual thing. For me, it's been a gradual thing. For a lot of things, it's a gradual dissipation of whatever, the infirmity. And then there's times where it comes back. And, you know, like, okay, now what how'd that come back? Why is that bad? You're not supposed to be here.
Yeah. Well, I remember the story that Hagin talks about. This lady had heard him talking about faith and how they preach the same thing. You get the word in you where the faith is operational. And she went home. I don't even remember what she had, but she had something wrong with her big time. She went home and she went to confessing those scriptures over her, whatever it was that was wrong with her. And she did it for 5 hours straight and got healed that evening. Yeah, just sit up. I thank you, Lord, I'm healed because your word says it. If your word says it, then bless God, I'm healed. Devil, get out of here. You know, that kind of stuff. And she just did that for 5 hours straight. And the Lord, she healed her. And that's where God wants us to do. He wants us to be dogmatic in our faith. To believe what this word said. In my own case, sometimes I give up too easily at certain things. Not anymore. I made this decision some time ago to be, like we talked about, dogmatic in my faith. I'm not going to mention the things that have hindered my walk anymore. I'm going to endure in my faith. Thank you, Lord. Okay. I can go ahead now, Julie, if you would like. Okay. I shared with you how my wife's kidneys were damaged in a dirt bike wreck, and we'd taken her to be prayed for. And when it was now a week or two later, she was complaining to the Lord about why she hadn't been healed. What?
It's the next paragraph, but you're going to repeat that when you can.
I need that. There's a story I like to tell about a woman from Louisiana. Because it points that out. This woman had two inoperable tumors, and she had been going all over the country to be prayed for by many people who believed in divine healing, except she was not exercising any faith. She said, I just don't know, David, why I have not been healed. I said, you just told me why you have not been healed. You don't believe the gospel. I explained to her, the gospel is the good news that by whose stripes you were healed. And I began to share with her these past tense promises. It was just like a light bulb went on in her head. I saw her eyes light up when the revelation hit her and she understood. Then I said, now I'm going to pray for you one more time. But this time we're going to believe we have received, just like Mark 11:24 says. She agreed, and we prayed, and she received. She felt the change in her body. She felt it when those cancer demons, which is what it was, left her body, and she was healed. And I said to her, any one of those men you went to could have been useful in your healing, but this is the first time you have ever believed. I knew her for a long time after that, and she never had any problem with it again. It's not mental assent. It is believing. As the scripture has said, You believe that your sickness was put upon Jesus Christ when he sacrificed himself for you on the cross. And you don't have to bear that thing anymore. And you can joyfully go on about your business. Don't pay any attention to walking by sight. Don't pay any attention to feelings. Pay attention to what the Lord has said. We are to be reacting to what the Word says, not to what the world says, nor to the physical things in the world. They will line up with the Scriptures if we will line up with the Scriptures. You know, if you think about it, if you've listened to those quantum faith teachings, this is just like quantum faith, because the things that you speak changes everything around you. If you speak positive all the time, you speak positive. They've proven this time and time and time and time again. David says, I remember one of the first healings I received as a baby Christian. I was going to a full gospel type church, but it was not very full gospel because they did not understand these things and they weren't getting any miracles. But I was. I was helping them build an addition on their church. And we were in a hurry and I stepped on a nail that went through my foot. Ooh, that hurt. The interesting thing was that a few days before this happened, while I worked at a machine shop at Exxon, one of the apprentices there had done the same thing. He stepped on a nail sticking through a board. And he had the doctor wrap up his foot and he was on crutches so as not to put any weight on that foot. It was that bad for him. So a few days later, the same thing happens to me. You know all the thoughts that come through your mind about tetanus, and you know the devil loves to assail you with all the what ifs. But I just began to cast down all those vain reasonings that exalt themselves against the Word of God, 2 Corinthians 10:4-6. The next night we had a prayer meeting in the church, and since it was a bunch of Pentecostals, people were walking around praying and in the pews praying, and I was kind of hobbling around praying because my foot was painful. The preacher walked up to me at the back of the church where I was praying. And I was a baby Christian. I didn't know it at the time, but this preacher didn't have any faith of his own. He never really walked by faith in these promises himself. But he came up to me and asked, David, how's your foot? Well, that was my first opportunity to be tried. You're going to have somebody come up and ask you to see if you're going to agree with the gospel or not. And that's the whole point. Luke 12:8. And I say unto you, every one who shall confess, homologeo, meaning to speak the same as, confess me before men, him shall the Son of Man also confess before the angels of God. But he that denieth me in the presence of men shall be denied in the presence of the angels of God. Speak it out boldly. That's what he's saying. You don't want to be denied by the Lord. You want to confess him. You want to speak the same as. Well, I knew what the Bible said, and I just told him, my foot's healed. I know he could see me hobbling around and over there. And, of course, that thought always in the back of your mind. But if you're going to be a fool for Christ, you may as well go whole hog. 1 Corinthians 4:10. So I just said, my foot's healed. And right when I said that, the power of God hit my foot and all the pain totally left it. Praise be to God. It was as if I never had stepped on a nail. And I told the preacher, man, the power of God just hit me. And he kind of looked at me strange. I don't remember what he said, but I just started walking normally. Started jogging a little down the aisle, feeling no pain. I was so joyful. That'd make you joyful, wouldn't it? These little things started me on a life of discovering what faith really is and how to get a hold of the power of God. And it's very simple. He does not want our help, first thing. He wants our faith. He wants salvation to be by grace. He wants salvation to be unmerited and unearned. And he wants to give us a free gift. He won't share his glory with your flesh and my flesh. He wants to give us a free gift. No matter what your need is, it was supplied at the cross already. And he just wants to give it to us freely. As a matter of fact, he will harden Pharaoh's heart just to make it impossible for you to do anything yourself. So he has to do a miracle for you to make his power known. This kind of thing continued to happen to us because I realized this simple little key to power. It's faith and weakness. Many people preach the faith part, but it's faith and weakness. When you believe, as the scriptures says, you must be weak. You must cease from your works because it's already accomplished. Philippians 4:19, and my God shall supply every need of yours according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. 2 Peter 1:3, seeing that his divine power hath granted unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. And that's the way we have to see it. Remember that your faith has to be proven by your works. Many of you are determined to believe in your heart that God is faithful, that he will keep his promises. But make sure that you are agreeing with your mouth and that you are agreeing with your heart, because James 2:17 says, faith, if it have not works, is dead in itself. I'm going to stop there. We'll stop there right there for till next time. Put a star there so I can remember. Are y'all liking this real good news like this? I do. I like to see people get more active in it. There's many, you know, when you read it like this, you read it out loud like this, there are things in there that you miss when you're reading it by yourself, you know. And you come across something like it, and you hear that, oh, my goodness, yeah, that's. And that's why I like to do that. We do this on a daily, on a weekly basis here on Wednesdays. Have a book study, and, boy, it's really helped a lot of us. Praise God. Yeah, Julie.
What I find is a lot of times, whether it's reading the books or listening to one of the audios, or reading, you know, something on the site, you know, I may have read it before, I may have heard it before, but I am not at the same place today as I was 2 years ago, 5 years ago, 7 years ago, 8 years ago, or whatever, that, you know, there's things that I understand better now that I did then, or I have a different perspective on it, or, you know, there's just, you know, with all of us, you know, we grow, you know, and so you can hear something now, but it means so much more, or something different, or you have more light on it. So when you hear it again, it's, you know, it's different, it's more powerful, or it's just, you know, you just have more revelations, I guess, you know. I think y'all know what I mean, but
yeah. Absolutely.
It's just the growth. It's like we're not where we were. So, you know, the word of God is active and it's powerful and it's alive. So, you know, it means more today in some areas than it did before. You know, praise God.
Amen. Well, okay. I guess we're out of time. Yep. Lord, I thank you for giving us the opportunity to go over these things again, and new revelations come out. I, you know, you can read these things for a half a dozen times and come back and find something else. And Lord, we thank you for doing that for each and every one of us. In Jesus' name. Well, good night.